Very sad when we had to cut back the size of it. I'm even sadder now after reading in the Oregonian that several of the cities have beaten us to the punch and have working sustainability centers that are bigger than what we wanted to build here. I'm saying, is there something that we can do to rethink this? That's the thing about that. It's like, if I were living in Tokyo or I were living in France or Germany or Sweden, somebody said, well, you're going to go visit the United States to see a livability center. And they'd say, oh, yeah, Denver already has one. Let's go there. You know, it's been up and running for a few years. They've got their act together. So we should be taking that into consideration, too, when we're asking for $37 million. So thank you all very much. And again, Happy New Year to all of you. And Lenore, I hope things turn out okay for you. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Pete. Carla, has anyone else signed up?
Yes, we have three more. Paul Terdahl, Anastasia Puja, and Felicia Williams.
Welcome all. All we need is your name, and you'll each be given 3 minutes. Sir, why don't you begin?
Actually, I'd like to defer to Anastasia to go first.
Okay.
Hey, my name is Anastasia Puja. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you guys today. My husband works for the City of Portland Maintenance Bureau, and we have a 3.5-year-old daughter, Millie, who has autism. Autism affects 1 in 110 children, with even higher rates in Oregon. Currently, there's more than 8,000 children in Oregon with autism, and 600 are diagnosed every year. Decades of medical research clearly demonstrate the effectiveness of many therapies in improving the health outcome and ability to function for these individuals. The City of Portland's employee health insurance plan sharply limits coverage for medically necessary evidence-based treatment, forcing many individuals with autism to do without the medical and behavioral health care that could dramatically improve their health outcome and ability to function independently. We have Kaiser insurance, our family does, through the City of Portland. It limits speech, occupational, and physical therapy to 20 visits per year. Kaiser also refuses to cover intensive behavior health treatment called Applied Behavior Analysis, or ABA, despite endorsements by their own pediatricians and psychologists. Kaiser has been ordered to pay for ABA for another child already, and we are going through the similar process and expect similar results by January 23rd. Our daughter, Millie, requires weekly occupational and speech therapy. She also needs 20 to 25 hours of applied behavior analysis. Since our coverage is limited to 20 visits per year for speech and occupational therapy, she goes more than half of the year without these essential therapies and impeding her ability to progress. Out of the speech benefit allowed to us, over the last 2 years, she's only received 7 speech therapy visits because she requires feeding therapy, which falls under and consumes the majority of our allowed speech therapy benefit through the city. She currently has no verbalization skills or form of communication. Multiple Kaiser providers have advised us that these treatments for her are medically necessary, and she is in strong need of them, but due to our limited coverage, she's receiving inconsistent treatment. Therefore, what would be deemed a complete medical treatment plan for her is not covered under the city's medical benefits. Her progress is limited by lack of consistency in treatment and Kaiser's refusal to provide ABA therapy for her. To provide Millie with the medical treatment that she needs would cost our family almost all of our yearly income. Millie goes without medical treatment, and we are forced to rely on charities and government services to provide her with services our own insurance refuses. Oregon already spends $200 million per biennium on special education for children with autism. This number could be greatly reduced if children like Millie were receiving the care that their own insurer should be providing them. The time that it's taking me to acquire services and that Kaiser refuses to provide care for her is time that she's losing and falling further behind, causing more money for this school system and medical social services to provide for her. By the end of the month, the city is more than likely going to be providing ABA therapy for Millie. So I ask you to please allow all of the city employee benefit recipients that are in medical need the opportunity to benefit from this treatment as well. I'm also asking you to please reconsider your limits on speech, occupational, physical therapy to provide for more effective treatment for individuals in medical need. Thank you.
So I appreciate you bringing this forward, and it's a compelling thing, but I'm trying to tie it to what we're considering here. Is there a particular...
Well, there is, as we were talking about earlier, there was discussion about our legislative agenda supporting Senator Haas and his efforts to increase health insurance coverage for autistic children. And
outside of what an insurance
provider. And we need to take a look at what we do ourselves, and I think that's what Anastasia is talking about, and that's why I'm pledged to do that examination. So I think that's the next.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Paul Turtle. I'm a resident of the city of Portland, and I'm here with Anastasia also to talk about autism health insurance reform, and I was very pleased to see that you have put it as something that you're monitoring in your agenda, and I certainly appreciated Commissioner Saltzman, your comments at the beginning, and Amanda, Commissioner Fritz, the discussions that we've had over the last couple of weeks as well. We do have a bill that we have drafted for the 2012 session. This will be the third session we have had a similar bill in process. This is an issue we have worked on for a very long time. We are very pleased that Senator Haas has put it in. We have spent the last 6 months at the end of the last session working closely with the insurance industry to basically address all of their technical concerns. At this point, we believe we have a very clean bill. Ultimately, it really comes down to a couple of things. We're not, the bill that we're talking about would basically clarify and strengthen the existing, laws regarding insurance coverage. It is not really creating a new mandate that isn't already there. Anastasia mentioned that Kaiser had basically been ordered recently to provide the very same coverage he's asking for another child. That was my son. I spent 200 hours of my time over a period of about the last 5 or 6 months, as well as 40 hours of the insurance division's time, to go through the appeals process. And at the end of the day, Kaiser realized they simply had no legal basis to deny coverage of the intensive treatment for my child. They are currently working with the insurance division to figure out how they're going to comply with that order. They have promised me authorization by the end of this week. This law would simply clarify that, that requirement that is already there, that has been ordered by the courts for Pacific Source for another family. It would also streamline the process. Kaiser's contract, requires them to pay for licensed mental health providers at $91 an hour. If you do the math, 25 hours a week for her child, that's going to be $118,000 a year that they're going to be obligated to pay her. Personally, I'm paying $25 an hour for great care that meets national standards of care through a team of paraprofessionals and expert supervisors. And if this bill passes, we're going to be getting the same coverage that's already legally required, but we're going to have a much better structure to provide high-quality care at about one-third of the cost that is currently legally required. So, again, I'm thrilled that the city is looking at this. I really appreciate the warm welcome that we received from Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fritz's office and the time you're taking today. We know this is a tough hill to fight for this bill, but it's extremely important, and we believe that as the legislature really understands the true cost implications of not coverage, such as the $200 million they're already spending on special ed for these kids, that they will realize this is actually a very cost-effective thing to do. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Ma'am, welcome.
Hi, my name is Felicia Williams. I'm the chair of the Downtown Neighborhood Association. And I want to start by thanking Commissioner Fritz for inviting us to weigh in on this. I noticed that one of the issues that we were very supportive of, the Oregon Sustainability Center, did make it onto the agenda. There are three of these six that we are also very interested in because they directly affect our neighborhood. The Oregon Sustainability Center, of course, the education funding, especially for Portland State University, directly affects our neighborhood. And the public safety at liquor-serving establishments also has a direct impact on our neighborhood. So we do have our state legislators coming in to our neighborhood association meeting at the end of the month, and we would be happy to advocate for all of the positions that are currently on this agenda. So thank you for your time.
Thanks for joining us today. Martha, you want to come back for a moment? See if there are any questions. I did have a question on the property tax deferral program. George Hawker on my team went to the last town hall that was held, I guess, at the Hollywood Senior Center. And I know that there are a number of state legislators that are working on this. I also know that the county has an interest in this. What is our role here, and what is your recommendation?
Well, on that issue, let me actually invite Andy to give us just a quick update. We do know that there will be discussion during the February session, but in terms of action, I'm not sure the legislature is prepared to act in February. But let me turn things over to Andy.
Thanks, Martha. What we've been hearing is that a possibility of a one-year extension for folks with reverse mortgages is in play, and I'm pleased to monitor the issue and report back to your offices.
Who is the lead person at the county on that? Do you know?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. This sounds like it's not something we would need to amend the legislative agenda, but we could follow it, and you could report to us so that we are working in tandem with the advocates on this?
Absolutely.
So why? I guess I'm wondering why we wouldn't want to amend the agenda to add this formally. Given there does seem to be some momentum to resolve it, it would seem to make some sense that we could weigh in to say that the city formally supports resolving positively for seniors this issue. Why would we not want to do that?
I think that's absolutely up to the council. What we could do is there will be a number of bills and efforts that are introduced during the legislative session. Not reflected here, that we'll be working through our regular legislative process. But if it's something that council would like added, we can amend that to include.
So you don't see it as for some reason being harmful to formally add it?
I will say that it's an issue that we are aware of. Typically, I would like to do a little bit more research into it so I can give you a sense of where the who the major supporters are and what the effort looks like. I think at this point, we could do that and do a little bit more background research, but. I don't actually have enough information to make a recommendation at this point.
But it sounds to me like there's enough interest to resolve it, that, and particularly given Lenore's testimony and others who we've worked with here, I'd be inclined today to suggest that we add it formally to our list, if the council so.
Other comments?
I agree with the sentiments, and I'd like more information about why would we not at least support the one-year deferral or extension. I'm wondering, is there a particular reason that we need to adopt the agenda today, or would next week do?
If at all possible, today would be it would be great if we could accept the report today. We'll make the amendment if council is asking us to do that. The reason why it'd be helpful to next week, the legislature is meeting for 3 days in their last round of interim committee days. And if we can have adopt the city's legislative agenda, then Dan and Andy can actually be effectively informing our Portland legislators of what items we're going to be working on.
So while you would prefer to have more time to look into this suggestion, you would opt for amending it today rather than waiting?
I think that's right. I mean, if there's consensus from the council that you'd like an item added, we can certainly make that amendment. But to the extent it's possible for council to accept the report, I think we understand that there will be items that will come up during the legislative session that you'll want us to take action on.
I guess my suggestion would be that we amend this conceptually today, give you the latitude to frame it based on whatever research you do in the way that you think is the most effective. But I would like it to be part of the package that's presented to legislators, because having been in that position, that's an important document for me that I used throughout the session to touch base with to make sure we were doing the things for the city that needed to be done. So if the council agrees, I'd like to formally adopt it as part of the written directive in terms of our legislative agenda and have it in a conceptual form so that Martha, based on her own research, can draft the language supporting that effort in the most effective way possible.
So we have a motion to include proposed legislative changes to Oregon Senior and Disabled Property Tax Deferral Program. We have the motion, second by Commissioner Saltzman. Further discussion? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
This just goes to show that when we have a long process, including public input, to get input, you can still turn up at the last public hearing and make a difference. So thank you very much for bringing this to our attention today, and I'm very happy to support it. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Thanks again for your time and for your hard work on this. Aye. The amendment passes. Further council discussion? Is there a motion to adopt the legislative report as amended?
So moved.
Second. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Martha, and your team for this process, and also to Mayor Adams. He and I, in our very first month in office in 2009, had the first community forum to look at that year's legislative agenda, and we realized at that point that that was too late, that once the session is going, it's difficult because, as you said, it's a month before and you're already starting to work with legislators. So in subsequent years, we had a more expanded public process. We did a smaller version this year, knowing that the session will only have two bills per legislator and be limited to the 35 days. It was still a wonderful forum, and I greatly appreciate Representative Tina Kotek participating in that. I know she's been very concerned about the foreclosure and senior mortgage issue, so I'm happy that Commissioner Leonard took the lead on adding that to the agenda. I'm in charge of the city's wellness program and the council's liaison to the Labor Management Benefits Committee. Greatly appreciate you bringing this to my attention last week, and also happy to hear of Commissioner Saltzman's concurrence that we need to take a good look at the city's benefits as well as supporting state legislation. Jennifer Yocum in the mayor's office, who's the city hall expert on benefits, the city's benefits plan, and also very experienced in working with the legislature, is going to be helping me to work on this particular issue. It was very helpful that you came today to give your own personal experiences and also to give us the state of what's happening at the legislature. We found with the 911 taxes, with liquor control, with a number of the other important issues that are on this agenda, that it often takes more than one session. In fact, it sometimes takes more than three sessions. And when we have persistent citizens, expert staff, and committed elected officials who want to get things done, we don't stop trying until we get things done. So thank you very much for your partnership in this, and I look forward to our success. I have to pause and take this moment to recognize our city lobbying team in the government relations office. I hear over and over again talking with state legislators. They start the conversation with, I need to tell you how great your team is in Salem, how constructive and helpful. And you have certainly been very helpful to me in guiding me as to when it's helpful for Portland politicians to speak up and when sometimes it's better for us to let other processes make their way. So thank you to all concerned, and I'm happy to vote aye.
Saltzman.
I want to echo Commissioner Fritz's comment about how effective, what praise we hear about our team and from legislators and staff. So, and good luck. Aye.
Leonard.
And I agree. Thank you.
Adams.
Well, I want to as well thank Martha and her team for the great work that they do at the state level, and we'll be considering the federal agenda and their work on the federal level tomorrow. I also want to thank Commissioner Fritz for helping to lead the outreach to the community and everyone that was involved. Look forward to lobbying on these issues. Aye.
Fish.
Well, Martha, it's a pleasure to work with you and your team, even when you're admonishing certain commissioners further. No, it's great, and I want to echo what Amanda said. When we're down in Salem and we watch the interaction of the professionals on your team with the decision makers, that reinforces for me every time just how highly regarded our team is down there, and congratulations for all your good work. You know, I have a disagreement, not a big disagreement, but I hope a principled disagreement on one of the issues in our legislative agenda, which can be resolved if we change the funding mix and make some other changes. But this document is a consensus document. It reflects the will of the council. And so I'm going to vote aye because I agree with the overall thrust of our agenda. And I think you've done a good job getting this document prepared. And I want to thank our stalwart advocates for issues involving seniors. And one of the folks who testified was actually at the Parks Budget Forum the other night and hung out for a couple hours and had a chance to weigh in on another important issue. So thanks for all that you do in our community and for being so vigilant. The report is accepted. Thank you very much. That concludes our time certains. We're now going to move to our regular agenda. We have three items today. Carla, would you please read council item number 44?
Authorize a two-year contract with Good Sport Promotion, Inc. for $248,500 for volunteer management and recruitment services through the Portland Sunday Parkways program.
So if we could, who's here for this? If you could come forward. Mayor Adams, I have a note that says that it's the desire of the Bureau of Transportation to take the emergency clause off.
I would suggest before you do that, if I could have an exchange of questions, it may not be necessary to take the emergency clause off.
Okay. Welcome to council.
Thank you. My name is Linda Ginnenthal, and I'm the program manager for transportation options with the Bureau of Transportation, and I'm the program manager who works with a team of folks on Sunday Parkways. I will be brief, although I love the opportunity to talk about Sunday Parkways. It's a lot of fun. So this is a two-year contract, and it begins the work of recruiting volunteers for our five Sunday Parkways for 2012 and also for the five that would be scheduled, budget permitting, for the 12-13 season. So this is a contract that would be funded through three fiscal years. So it is currently budgeted in this fiscal year to begin, and then it would be for next fiscal year, and then a piece of it would be in the third fiscal year. So it's funded through the contract runs through three fiscal years. So Good Sport Promotion, who is the contractor, was chosen through a bidding process. And I have to say they are amazing experts at volunteer recruitment and also managing the helping us manage the event. And we really couldn't do this program without their support. So historically, the city has supported with city dollars Sunday Parkways with about 50% of city money, and then the balance of it coming from the private sector through either sponsorships, grants, individual contributions, and vendor fees. The goal for the next fiscal year, which obviously we are yet to have that budget conversation, but we're in the middle of those conversations, but our goal is to have the city funding scaled back significantly to a third of the support, and then really ramp up the fundraising. As part of that, I've been doing a lot of talking about Sunday Parkways, a lot of fundraising, and at this point we have committed from our sponsors as much as we had last year for sponsorships. We're at currently today, so I believe we'll be able to hit those marks. So I'm going to be brief, and then
if I could interrupt.
Sure.
You're the mayor. Go ahead.
Go nuts.
Before you wrap up, just to expand on that point, we're also looking to expand to Southwest, which we have not offered Sunday Parkways in the Hills. And also, before you conclude, Linda, just want to, you know, I'm sure there is another public event that leverages more volunteer hours, but if there is another public event that leverages 17,500 hours over five events, then that's great. We need more of them. I also want to note that the numbers in the council document are the city's contribution for 2 years, this is a volunteer-driven event. This is highly sponsored by the private sector. Seven out of every $10 comes from the other private or other funding sectors, and we're expanding into another neighborhood while reducing the city's contribution.
If I could,
Commissioner Saltzman?
Well, thank you, Mayor and Linda. I was the one who originally pulled this from our agenda last week, and Mayor suggested we just set it over a week so I could talk to you in the interim. Sure. But the reason I originally pulled it was because of the $248,000 of both general fund and general transportation revenues and the commitment to future years to that funding. And I think we all know, you know, the transportation department's looking to cut $12 to $19 million from its current budget, and it'll probably be at least another 5% in its ongoing budget, and not to mention the general fund as well. And I just felt that, while Sunday Parkways is a great event and a success by all measures, I am not prepared at this point to commit to the next fiscal year that this is the highest and best use of precious transportation or general fund dollars. I mean, there are roads that are not going to be paved. There's a million pedestrian and bicycle safety improvement projects that, you know, are important stuff. And I just don't think necessarily our sponsorship of Sunday Parkways rises above that. It's a fun thing, but it might also warrant a hiatus in the next fiscal year. And I had this talk with Linda, and I just want to kind of make sure I understand it correctly. So the $248,000 for this contract includes money that we've currently committed in this fiscal year.
Yes.
And then you said you're going to seek, hopefully in this coming fiscal year, a level of one-third of what general fund and transportation revenues are currently going towards this.
The budget for the tentative budget for Sunday Parkways for the 2012 season is $494,000. That includes the police costs. It includes the Bureau of Maintenance costs for putting out the barricades. It includes transportation engineering staff, our staff. It includes this contract, half of this contract, because this is a two-year contract. So what we're looking at for next year is that instead of funding it, which we have done in this last season
you're saying
at 56%.
You're speaking in fiscal years, right? When you say next year, you're talking about next fiscal year?
For the next fiscal year, yes. So what we would be looking at is having, instead of 56%, which is what was last year, or what would have been this year, looking at being only a third of that $494,000 being committed from city money, and the rest of that money would come from the private sector. And the thing about that is because we've leveraged so much private money, essentially that money back helps pay for police and BOM and our staff. And so we would actually be taking a larger cut in transportation and parks and police in order to not do Sunday Parkways. So
that reduced support would be either transportation, general revenues, or general fund.
I'm sorry?
The
yes,
one-third
yes.
support would come from one of those, or maybe at both of those sources.
Yes.
And that would be decided by this council in the upcoming budget
exactly.
process.
And I think I think one of the things that makes this a little bit different than a lot of the other kinds of city projects that come before you is that we're sort of running like a nonprofit where we're fundraising. And so, you keep your fingers crossed and you make sure that you do the best job that you can do for fundraising, but you often don't have the fundraising dollars committed, a year and a half out for the next fiscal year. And so that's kind of where this gets a little squirrely, because we're making a decision about a contract that's 2 years long and the contractor understands this as well. If we don't have the money, we can't employ them. So they
have no legal claim against us if we don't fund the second year of the contract.
Exactly. They'll be sad.
They'll be sad,
but
yes.
We'll all be sad.
Okay. Well, Linda,
so I think with that understanding, I just want to be clear that, you know, the council still has the right to examine this use of transportation and general fund dollars against many other compelling uses, and I will be doing that, and therefore I am prepared to support this this item at this point.
A very helpful exchange. And I just would note, Linda, that You know, we have to raise almost $1 million a year to do the summer free-for-all programs, and we're enthusiastic partners of Sunday Parkways through the Parks Bureau. But if we fall short in our fundraising, it just requires that we scale back on the number of events, and we might have to reduce the number of events at Washington Park or at neighborhood concerts or rock climbs or whatever. So we set our sights high, but we then have to calibrate based on how we do in our fundraising. So, but I appreciate that exchange. I think that actually clarified some questions that probably all my colleagues had. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, do you have anything more you'd like to add?
No, I think there's a few people who have wanted to speak.
Are they people that you've invited, or are they signed up?
I have five people signed up.
All right, very good. Thank you. Carla, why don't you call the roll?
The first four, please come on up, are Carl Larson, Chris Poole-Jones, Roger Averbeck, and Brian Benson. And the last person will be Veronica Bernier.
Welcome to the council. I know a number of you have been here before. Sir, why don't you kick us off, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Roger Averbeck. I serve as a volunteer chair of Southwest Neighborhoods Transportation Committee, and I also have volunteered at Sunday Parkways events for the past 2 years. I would like to communicate to you that the Southwest Neighborhoods Board has voted on October 26th in support of having a Sunday Parkways event in Southwest Portland, as the mayor noted, and this would be the first time that this event would come to our part of the city, and we appreciate that opportunity. We look forward to the partnership and the collaboration with not only Good Sport Promotion, the Bureau of Transportation, the Police Bureau, and all the coordination that it takes. I'll note that this event could be also in collaboration with the 100th anniversary, the celebration of Terwilliger Parkway, and it'll be a separate event, but it'll be closely organized in collaboration with, and so will be quite seamless with both, both events happening simultaneously to serve our community. So definitely you have the support of the 17 neighborhoods and the business associations out there in Southwest to bring this event to our part of the city. I'd also very briefly like to speak to you from my experiences as a volunteer in the past 2 years. Good Sport Promotions is an excellent company, and I've seen them evolve and improve their services that they provide in a number of ways. They plan in advance. They're very well organized, but they're also flexible and adaptable to the changing conditions that you might have in a large event. And they also are very open to and receptive to feedback from all the volunteers that they have out there on the streets after each event. So I've seen them grow and evolve. And this comes from 20 years experience in a prior career where I've dealt with the incident command system and in wildfire management. And I can tell when an organization is successful, they know how to adapt to the changing conditions. So I strongly encourage you to support renewal of this contract and to provide these services to the community. Thank you.
Thanks very much for your time, sir. Welcome. All we need is your name.
My name is Brian. Thank you all very much for hearing testimony today and for the thoughtful discussion already on Sunday Parkways. As I said, my name is Brian. I'm the Community Engagement Director at the Community Cycling Center. We're a nonprofit up in Northeast Portland, and I'd like to speak to this event from that perspective. Also, having been a volunteer as well, like Roger, I'd like to really quickly just echo his comments about Good Sport. They do a really wonderful job with the resources they're given, and I've only had good experience with them. But I'd like to speak a little bit about why I think that Sunday Parkways is actually a really great priority for the city and a really important thing to fund this year and ongoing. And I really think that it's all about equity, and I speak for our organization in saying this. At the Community Cycling Center, our mission is broadening access to bicycling and its benefits. And for the past 2 years, we have been conducting the Understanding Barriers to Bicycling Project. And that's basically a program with the goal of identifying barriers to active transportation that are faced by low-income communities and communities of color. And there's the accompanying goal, of course, of dismantling these barriers, working with these communities to figure out ways that we can approach them and overcome them. Specifically, we've been working closely with New Columbia and Hacienda, with resident committees there. And there are two affordable housing communities, as I'm sure everyone here knows, up in North and Northeast Portland. Through focus groups, in-depth programming, and ongoing committees, we have heard over and over again that people are concerned about safety, and they're concerned about having access to our city's world-class active transportation infrastructure. And many folks just don't have the information about it. Sunny Parkways provides both safety and access. It encourages a highly diverse group of community members to be active, to be neighborly, and to take ownership of Portland's ever-improving bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So last year, Sunday Parkways routes connected directly to New Columbia and Hacienda. And we were able to work with local leaders to organize workshops, to have some fix affairs that would get folks back on their bikes, and to lead rides from these communities. So Sunday Parkways creates an opening, it creates an opportunity, and it is definitely creating momentum. I think canceling the events or not supporting them would be a sad step backwards for our city, and it would really send the wrong message. So I believe that making the benefits of our great city available to everyone really requires the courage and commitment to support innovative and, I'd say, cost-effective. I'm guessing Carl might actually have some more things to say about cost-effective. But programs like Sunday Parkways. And Portland is and will continue to be recognized as a city that is designed for people. And I believe that by funding Sunday Parkways, we all can demonstrate our commitment to making it safe and accessible for all people. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Chris, welcome.
Welcome. My name is Chris Poole-Jones, and I'm project director for the Junkie Delta Community Center. And I came here to support Sunday Parkways because we hope to be one of the sites this year. We were asked to do it last year, but we weren't ready. But also, too, I'd like to support it in the sense of make a commitment from our organization to bring more diversity to the we volunteered also last year also to the whole event, and also to make a commitment from our organization.
Thanks very much.
Hi, my name is Carl Larson. I teach bicycle safety for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and I'm pleased to be here to send a good word out about one of my favorite events. It's no coincidence that Sunday Parkways is a core mission of Portland's Bureau of Transportation and the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. Our goal is to see that the streets are as safe and accessible for walking and biking as possible, and PBOT wisely shares that goal because it saves the city money and it saves lives. More people walking and biking means less money spent building and maintaining streets. It also means safer streets, not just for people walking or riding bikes, but for all modes. So all over the world, events like Sunday Parkways have proven to be one of the most effective means of empowering people to walk and bike in their neighborhoods. PBOT has an aggressive fundraising strategy to bring private sector investment into Sunday Parkways, and approving this agenda item is only the first step to unlocking that money. And about the private sector investment, it's really no coincidence that the major primary sponsor in the past has been a healthcare provider. That says a lot. They know that their money isn't just going towards...
You should give them a plug, Carl.
Kaiser Permanente. I mean, I don't know if they're renewing their deal, so I don't... Okay. Anyway... Okay. So, yeah, they're not just there for the transportation. Clearly, there's a health benefit as well. They're helping reduce obesity and causes of heart disease by encouraging healthier, more active lifestyles. So it's a smart investment, considering that last year alone, 107,000 people in our city participated in Sunday Parkways, young and old. So keep in mind that Sunday Parkways investments aren't just leveraging volunteer resources and private sector money. They're also providing living wage jobs in our town. So in short, we can't afford not to invest in Sunday Parkways, and I urge you to renew this contract.
Thank you very much. Carla, who else has signed up?
The last person who signed up is Veronica Vernier.
Thanks Thanks very much. Thank you. Good morning, Veronica.
Oh, good morning, Vance. I mean, character actors. No, I didn't mean that either. This isn't comedy line, is it? But I'm your comedian. You guys needed a laugh, didn't you? Good. Hi, good morning. Gracious good morning, across America, USA. It is the Portland City Council, and I see everybody's here except for one person.
He's here by phone.
I knew he was here in spirit. I can feel his presence.
I'm here, Veronica.
I knew you were here, Sam. Good morning, Sam. Good. Good morning, America. How are you? Today, it's important to support your local BTA. Bicycle Transportation Alliance has been around for years. I'm a member of that group, too. Karen Frost, Ted Frost, and all the other good volunteers. Support the local parkways ordinance or initiative. It's a good thing to do. And also, while bicycle pedaling around the city, please remember the little old ladies like myself who travel at about 8 tenths of a mile an hour, usually, while pulling a cart or luggage rack. Just remember the grannies across America, you know, walking along at their safe place or pace. It's important to remember the other pedestrians there. And also, I'd like to say good morning, Randy. How are you doing? You're looking well this morning. You're always looking well. Appreciate your support at PSU and also the general good work you do for the police, fire, and EMS. Police, fire,
Veronica,
services are important.
Some people think Randy looks better in person than on TV. Do you have an
opinion? He sure does. You know, he hugs real nice, too. He's a big teddy bear. But anyway, thank you. Kudos to your group, especially Maria De Benedetti, his quarterback there. I'd like to salute Randy also for his past work in the police vital services and support of the American Red Cross. Nationally and locally, American Red Cross is always there first. And I just want to put in a plug for our local chapter. Rodney Rogers is doing a great job on a bicycle. Bicycle pedal is he out there in the parkways and usually pedaling along at a good pace. Tandem bikes is what we're trying to push this year. And for that, Amanda Fritz comes in. Because I know she can do it. We've seen you on a bike, and you're looking well this morning. I like your suit. It looks nice. Amanda always puts in a good thought for the ladies, and I just wanted to put in a special plug. 823-0260 is the number to call. If any of you ladies are stuck and need a little extra help, be sure and call that number and look for Amanda. She supported Rose Haven and Sister Kathy and their work, and they pedal on bicycles too, so the parkways. Dan Saltzman, I wanted to mention you. I know as commissioner in your area, you're doing a great job, and you always have. Well spoken, always in good form, and Commissioner Nick Fish. Thank you for your support of the YWCA. They're on bicycles too. We'll look forward to seeing you in the parkways, definitely. You've come forward for the girls at the Y, made the streets safe at night, and it's part of a larger package, so thanks very much.
Veronica, thank you for joining us. Anyone else who wants to testify? Carla, could you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Thank you to Linda and Katja Dillman in the mayor's office for briefing my staff ahead of time. And also to Paula Catalani, who helps coordinate some of the immigrant refugee volunteers for Sunday Parkways. I appreciate this discussion. Thank you, Mayor Adams. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, as I said, I had some questions about, is this the highest and best use of transportation dollars and general fund dollars? And I do respectfully disagree with Carl that Sunday Parkways is a core mission of the Transportation Department. As I said, it's a fun event. It does help get people out on bikes, but it's not as high a priority to me as paving streets or putting in pedestrian and safety improvements. You know, I get major pages from 911, and we get a lot of pages about shootings, but we also get a daily page about a pedestrian being struck, often fatally. So we have a crisis in pedestrian safety, not to mention bicycle safety. So I am not, by supporting this today, I'm supporting going ahead with the contract, but I am by no means yet signaling my support for any transportation or general fund dollars for the fiscal year 12-13. That's going to have to compete against a lot of things, including Officer Zanetti, who we heard from earlier today, who is doing great work in graffiti abatement. His position will also be determined by the budget process. So, like I said, it's a great event, but there are, to me, more critical priorities that I will be looking closely at, and I'm not committing that this one will at least have my support for future funding. And it may mean, maybe I spoke too strongly in saying hiatus. It may need to be scaled back, fewer events. And maybe good sponsors like Kaiser and others, and I appreciate Linda's entrepreneurial work here, will step up to the plate more. And you know, I want to thank Kaiser for their past support. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, I appreciate the conversation. I think it helps the details of what's being proposed here helps make the case why this is such an important event to continue. It's actually looked at a model of inspiration by cities around the world. The fact that it is moving to both expand and reduce its relative city support. I want to thank Linda, Kaiser Permanente, all of her team and all the sponsors that allow us to do this, to do that. I do think that this is a core aspect of the transportation, the Bureau of Transportation's mission. I think that it's akin to the environmental education work that we do through the Bureau of Environmental Services. And I do agree that it needs to be done in the most effective manner, and it needs to be done leveraging as much non-city support as possible. I don't agree with framing this as a choice between pedestrian safety improvements or pavement or Sunday Parkway. I think that that is that's setting up a false choice. I think that obviously need to do both and all, and that the amount of effort and focus on safety improvements, you know, that has been the core of what I've been about as transportation commissioner. And part of the lasting benefits of Sunday Parkway is getting people to feel confident and entire families to discover their neighborhood by bike, and frankly, discover the adjacent neighborhood by bike and walking. And in doing so, they come back to us to demand or suggest improvements to safety improvements and other improvements to their neighborhood. Many partners have also discovered parks that are in their own neighborhoods or adjacent anew. And the benefit here is not just with transportation, although the benefit for transportation is very deep, but there's benefit with Parks Bureau and across many bureaus in the city. So again, I want to thank Linda. I want to thank her team, the Bureau. I want to thank Catherine Charlo and Katya Dillman in my office. And we gladly step up to the high expectations, the higher expectations we placed on ourselves for even more non-city funding for this event. Aye.
Fish.
I also want to thank Linda and her team for the superb job they do. Last year was kind of a watershed for me. I think I managed to go to all of them. I managed to get my 7-year-old son to come with me to one. And, you know, just it's a juggernaut. And one of the events, Harper's Playground, set up a tent, was doing fundraising. Another event, the Portland Timbers farm team players were doing an exhibition in the park. Another one, Free for All people were doing a fitness class, and people were out dancing in the middle of a field. And I had older adults lobby me about our funding for senior programs. And I went to a book signing party and had my bike looked at one stop. I mean, on and on and on. And I think it just keeps getting bigger and better. And Portland Parks and Rec is a proud partner in this, because what it does is it gets people to engage in healthy activities, it builds community, and it focuses attention on some of our great assets, including our parks. And I think the sky's the limit. And I appreciate the discussion about tough choices, about how we spend limited resources. And it's going to be a very difficult budget cycle. But I'm a true believer in the community building benefits of this program. And really, personally, I benefit from it, and I know our community does. So thank you for your great work. Aye. Okay, the matter passes. Item number 45 is a second reading only, vote only. Carla, would you please Read the item and call the roll.
Vacate a portion of Northwest Irving Street between Northwest 4th Avenue and Northwest 5th Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations. Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Matter passes. Our final item is item number 46. Carla, would you please read it?
Propose measures for charter amendments at the May 2012 primary election.
Is the auditor present?
Co-chairs of the
co-chairs are here. Yeah. Welcome. Nice to see you both. Who would like to start? Mark?
My name is Mark White. I'm co-chair of the Charter Commission.
And I'm Susan Pierce. I'm the other co-chair of the Charter Commission.
And under the Charter, it's up to the Charter Commission to present the measures to Council. And on January 5th, you were sent a memo from the auditor. And we believe that is actually has everything in it that you need, so I'm going to restate that here for you. At its December 21st meeting, the Charter Commission voted in favor of sending a request and message of concern to you. No, that's the wrong one. Thanks. Let's see. Same one. On Wednesday, December 21st, 2011, the Portland Charter Commission voted to submit 9 housekeeping amendments to the voters at the May 2012 primary election. Present for the vote were 17 of the 20 Charter Review Commission members, and all 9 amendments were supported by an affirmative vote of at least 15 members. The proposed measures amend the following sections of City Charter. Amend Charter Section 1-106, amend Section 2-105A14, delete Charter Section 2-105A50, delete Charter Section 2-105A51, delete Charter Section 2-105A54, amend Section 2-108, amend Section 2-206B, and amend Section 13-301, and delete Chapter 14. And you were given Exhibit A for the specific amendments. The city attorney is going to prepare the ballot title and explanatory statement for each measure. And following the ballot title challenge process, the city auditor shall file the measure with county elections officer, for the May 2012 primary election. The measures shall be considered referred as soon as the measures are certified to the ballot. And I believe that's the extent of our responsibility to bringing that forth to you. I must say, from a personal perspective, that, first of all, I'd like to thank Sue and the rest of the housekeeping committee for the work they did. They were quite diligent, and there was absolutely no rubber stamping of any kind whatsoever. I think the effort that they put into it was very, very intensive, considering that all of the measures were considered to be non-controversial in content. So unless you have any questions, I think that's our part of it.
Well, let me turn to my colleagues. Commissioner Fritz?
Well, first, thank you so much. And I agree that the Housekeeping Committee and indeed the entire Charter Commission has been extremely diligent in looking at the charges that the council asked and then looking into things on your own initiative as well. My one technical question is I support all of the amendments and I appreciate the way that they're presented. Will they be on the ballot as one measure or as 9?
They will be on the ballot as 9 measures. If for no other reason, because that's the state law.
So then my follow-up question, three of this current 65 power special powers of the council are proposed to be deleted. So each of the proposed deletions then renumbers the following one as if that was the only one. How will that be corrected once it gets, if all 3 pass or if 2 or 3 is the, and maybe the city attorney can answer this question for me, if the voters pass all 3 of the specific power deletions, does the city then have the power to just renumber the others?
I think that's just
You need a microphone, Tracy.
I think that that would just be more or less of a housekeeping, not a substantive charter provision, so the renumbering would just occur to make sense, to
Right.
make sure that the charter made correct sense.
And they will all nine go separately?
Correct.
Great, thank you.
As the amendments were presented to us, and I think you got the same packet in each case, it's something like 93 pages long. And in each case, they present the amendment with the explanation, and for those three potential amendments, in each case, the entire section is in your packet renumbered repeatedly.
Right.
So I think that's the way it happens.
Right. Thank you.
So I'm not sure if it's the same, but Chapter 6 was deleted at some point, and it's still listed, but it says deletion. So the items that you mentioned could potentially be done the same way, but it's structured a little bit different than the chapters themselves. So I think that's probably going to be up to the city attorney's office to see how that would work out.
Thank you for the clarification. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Saltzman?
I also appreciate your work, and I know that these are non-controversial, and they get rid of words like vagrancy and paupers and stuff like that, but my curiosity was piqued by Commissioner Fritz's question. What are the three powers that are taken away from us?
Oh, just a moment. I didn't quite know how to organize this to anticipate
your questions. If you know off the top of your head.
So in one case, it is in all cases, it's deleting language. In those three amendments, it's in all cases deleting language that's archaic and most likely offensive. In one case, it deletes a segment that I can read it for you if you like.
Or if you want
you can
to
summarize
just summarize it, yeah.
So in one case, it prevents the sale and circulation of obscene matter and continues to go into detail about that. That is essentially covered by state law in some ways by the state of Oregon freedom of speech laws. It makes it archaic. Because of that, another one is, again, as you, Commissioner Salzman, pointed out, uses the words vagrancy and vagrants and paupers that is considered to be archaic. Other city ordinances and laws override that in terms of the sitlai, such as the sitlai and the history of the sitlai. And the other one is to prohibit, this is really archaic, it's short, but it is archaic and offensive, to prohibit the exhibition of deformed or crippled persons and to prohibit all persons from begging on the street or in public places. So those are the,
thank you.
In a nutshell.
Other questions or comments?
Actually, I think the question had referred to specific powers that were going to be deleted by council. It's 2-105, continuation of specific powers, and 106, which is enumeration of powers, not a limitation, and 108, which is the emergency fund. And we can look those up for you. I have my charter, of course, here.
We've got it right here in front of us.
Yeah. And all those listings were part of that package, and it includes the summary narrative for, the proposed summary for the voters, as well as something from the city auditor that describes it and where it is in the charter itself.
Thank you both very much. This is a report. Do we have a motion to adopt the report?
I move to adopt the report.
Is there a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Carla, would you please call the roll?
I don't know if anyone wanted to testify on
this. Oh, excuse me. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Seeing none?
Fritz.
Thank you for your work. I am thrilled with these amendments. In December 2010, the Council unanimously adopted a resolution appointing the 20 members of the Council of the Charter Commission and requesting that you consider three issues while recognizing that you have the power as the Charter Commission to look at anything within the Charter. And you have done so, and I greatly appreciate your work. It's taken a little longer than I expected, and in retrospect, my hope for 6 months was completely unrealistic. I think it's amazing that you've gotten all of this work done within a year, and so thank you very much for your diligence. The three requests that council made of you was a recommendation on future appointments, and it's really important to recognize that you've taken care of that issue as well and made a recommendation.